I have a special guest. I think he is a special guest. He's been here many times with his own show, Uriah Hefter, who is now a city councilor with Two Harbors. And in fact, my city councilor lives two blocks away, is with us. Thank you so much for being here this morning, Uriah.
You are welcome. Good morning. How are you today?
It is great to have you.
It's a beautiful spring morning on the North Shore of Lake Superior.
It is a beautiful spring morning with that moist feeling in the air. Yeah, so first of all, I just got to say, surely you've been here since your show ended. I forget when that was. The Hot Dish Imperative.
Yep.
Oh, you are so known for that show.
That was a lot of fun.
So I have to lament a little bit and say, why did you stop?
I think I ran out of stuff to cook. I think I had gone over almost every recipe I could find or could think up, and I reached the end. So now we have 5.5 years of, you know, opportunities to replay those shows if you forget how to make something. And it was good. It was fun. I really enjoyed my time. I really enjoyed volunteering. It was nice because KTWH was always very gracious with their time and, you know, basically allowed me to do really whatever I wanted with the show, within reason, obviously. But
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a great experience.
Yeah, you had a lot of fun. And I mean, I got to say, 5.5 years worth, surely none of us remember all those recipes. We should keep playing them.
Maybe at some time we'll do a special repeat or something fun like that. Maybe I'll sneak back in here when nobody's looking and turn everything on and see what happens.
Yes. Well, and you are a man of many talents because now you're here. You know, you absolutely can cook, but you also have some civic responsibility now as city councilor.
I do. It was very fortunate to be elected to represent Ward 1 and our great city, and just finished off my first year. Our last city council meeting of the year was just Monday. So it was a good and informative and learning experience of a first year.
I was going to say, how can you recap the first year city councilor for us?
There's a little bit of a curve. Fortunately, everybody on the council is extremely welcoming. I can't say that I've ever really hung out with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly if you have questions from what you might feel is a really silly question to maybe something a little more poignant, they're all very open and very honest, and administration and staff as well, not to toe the line, because I certainly wouldn't do that. But our administrator is doing a very nice job. She's been very helpful to me. So I'm very thankful for her and obviously all the staff that help keep the city running from day to day.
Great. Well, that is really good to hear. Thank you for that. I know that you know, you don't have to say that with such enthusiasm on the radio, so that really means something. Thank you.
Sure.
Let's talk about city business. First of all, there is a student-led groups by the Citizens for Rural Design consultant. They have a survey that is due today.
They do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this was an organization that was started, about a year ago, I would say, plus or minus, and they were fortunate enough to receive a grant. So CERD is under the umbrella, I believe, of the National Endowment of the Arts, so it's kind of a big deal. And what CERD really does, and I'm sure most everybody knows, but if you don't, they re-envision design projects in rural communities. So we are a rural community, so that's a bonus for us. And we have this huge waterfront that we as a city are going to be taking charge of here in the immediate future. So they got this grant and brought in the Citizens Institute on Rural Design. There have been some Zoom meetings. They were actually here in person. I attended that day-long meeting where they were here in person, where we toured the shore. And they are going to use their vast resources and epic amounts of knowledge to help the citizens of Two Harbors kind of come together behind an idea or a goal, specifically around the waterfront, and then give us some options. The beautiful thing about this is it's no cost to the city, which is a bonus for all of us. The grant kind of goes on for an extended period of time, which is really nice. There's really not a hard stop date. There's going to be some community workshops coming up this year, so the community will be able to come down and see some of the design ideas. Obviously, there's the forum that's going around now that, you know, is a great opportunity for everybody in Two Harbors to give their ideas. If you want to keep it a green space, if you want to put a McDonald's down there, whatever you want, you can fill on the form. It all goes into the pile. That information gets kind of disseminated into categories and kind of gives everybody an idea as to what the general consensus is.
Yeah. And tell us, when you met with these people, obviously we can theoretically figure this out on our own and come up with a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of expertise do they offer us? Like, what have they really helped us to do?
Sure. So if you actually go to the Waterfront Community Survey or the Friends of the Waterfront website, I believe there's a link to CERD from there. You can see some of the cities and the towns that they have done projects in, from reimagining an arts district to doing some upgrades in historical society. They've done a few different projects around. They're all architects, designers, engineers. And, you know, the really, really cool thing about this is that if they come up with a design or a series of designs, we as a city are not tied to it. It's just like, hey, here are the options. Here's what your citizens are saying. Here's what the bulk of your citizenship is asking for. Here's our design idea. You can take all of it. You could take a piece of it. You could take none of it. And from a counselor perspective, I think it really alleviates a lot of legwork on the city itself.
Right.
So we're not having, as a city, to pay for a designer or an engineer or that type of thing for that project. We have this, you know, conglomerate of experts that are coming in and doing it for basically no money and just really doing all that legwork that we as a city would probably spend years doing. And these folks are going to do it in about the next 18 months.
Yeah, that does make sense. And so, and it leaves the city and the citizenry free to just really look at it,
and it
seriously.
It gives a great opportunity too, because, I mean, they are citizen focused, so that, you know, their input comes from everybody who fills out the survey. So I think you said earlier today is the last day. So if you haven't already, you know, get to the Friends of the Waterfront website, fill out the survey and get that submitted.
Right. It's the twoharborswaterfront.com/surveys, the critical website. And so thank you for that shout out. And that really is a remarkable opportunity that we have. And what a gift that grant
is. It's wonderful.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the library board. You are on the board of the Two Harbors Public Library, which is pretty active. Tell us what they're working on, what you're excited about.
It is my favorite board of all time. And that
wow.
is, of course, because that's the only board I'm on.
Okay.
So, the library is great. I've always been a big fan of the library. I utilize the library. My family utilizes the library. So I was really passionate and very lucky that I was appointed by the council to be the board representative. If you haven't been down to the library, you need to get down there. They just installed
a huge upgrade.
Yeah, big upgrade. They just installed the new service desk. So the old desk was cut into small pieces, taken out, and hopefully burned in a pile somewhere.
What was wrong with that one?
I think it was 184 years old.
No way.
It was old and kind of Frankensteined together, I think, was the problem. But they received a wonderful grant from the Blandin Foundation and replaced the service desk. So there's a wonderful new service desk. It is all ADA compliant, which is fantastic. All the computer stations have been upgraded and moved. One of the funnest comments that we've heard so far is that somebody looked up over the desk and said, oh my gosh, there's an office behind there.
Uh-huh.
Because there was just so much stuff and clutter and computer stations that nobody knew that our director actually had an office.
Yeah.
So that's been exciting. All of the bathrooms have been upgraded. So they are all brand new, shiny, sparkly, also ADA compliant. We have in our library the first multi-use changing table. So this would be for infants all the way up to somebody who weighs about 400 pounds, I think is what it's rated
really?
To support. So a multi-use changing table. So that's exciting. Let's see, what else? There's always just stuff. I should have brought a list. Earlier this year, we became the first sensory, I'm going to get this wrong,
and
Director Jarvis will kill me, but sensory accompanying library in the state, so that if you have any sensory issues, if you suffer from ADD or ADHD, if you have noise sensitivity or light sensitivity issues, if you have any type of PTSD, if you reach out to the library before you come in, they'll meet you at the door, and we have different kits and opportunities and things that you can utilize so that you can utilize the library. Weighted blankets, we have noise canceling headphones, things of that nature. We actually, and I'm rambling because the library is so amazing.
Yeah.
We actually also just got some memory kits to help individuals work with other people, either a friend or a family member who may be suffering from some type of a dementia or recovering from a stroke or Alzheimer's. And because, you know, and I can speak to this, my dad had a stroke years and years ago. And as a son, I'm like, you know, how do you deal with this? How do you talk about stuff? You don't know really where to start. These kits are kind of designed to give you that starting point. So let's say your dad was, you know, raised in the 70s. You can maybe start talking about some music from the 70s or things that happened in the 70s. There are some sensory and tactile things to use and focus on, some images, some old magazine copies and things like that. So a lot of opportunities, at least for the folks that are caring for these folks, folks that are kind of coming back from these traumatic brain injuries. It gives them an opportunity to have a starting point and maybe identify a good place to kind of start the healing process. So a lot of cool stuff going on at the library. If you haven't been down there, you better get down there.
Wow. You're right. That sounds... So let me just clarify, because this is really interesting. These kits, yeah. Is that something that you would use in the library with a person? Or is that something
You can check it out.
Okay.
It's the library checks out board games. They check out cake pans. They check out memory sensory kits.
Okay.
So I know if I
can
get...
Fascinating.
I think I'm going to see if I can talk him into like checking out a snowblower if we ever get any. That would be awesome.
Oh, that is interesting. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, you can still check out books.
Of course.
CDs. And yep. Do you have anything to say about the readership?
Readership has actually been up. So we've been trending up ever since kind of. We obviously had that dip for COVID, but we did a lot of online and a lot of curbside. But in-person circulation is up, I think, 11% year over year. So the library is running them up and running them out. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there's also a lot of artwork there. I know the students we work with who do art, they're slated to have their art displayed next May. So you must have a lot of requests for that as well.
There is a waiting list for sure. But yeah, there's always just tons of fun and tons of different opportunities and chances to experience, all types of media at the library.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, we are running out of time, but I want to quickly ask, there was a big decision made to have a liquor store rebuilt to the tune of $5 million. You voted against. Tell us why.
So I am for the purchase of a new liquor store because I think we need it. My concern is that I don't know that we need, let's call it 9,000 square feet of liquor store in that location. I know we talked about downsizing it to 7,600 square feet. I was a little concerned about the, obviously the city would be extending a loan from the electric service to the liquor store and then repayment. The liquor store is actually quite the money maker for the city. We do pretty well with that, and that helps us in many ways. It helps keep a lot of our costs down and other communities don't get to realize because they don't have a municipal liquor store. Mm-hmm. I was a little concerned about that repayment service with the increased cost. I think the original estimate was about 15 years. Now with the increased cost of the store, we're talking about 20, and I was not as much of an advocate for taking that revenue entirely away from the city for that extended period of time. I felt that I think Councilor Erickson had a nice thought where, and she said it very succinctly during the meeting that, the design was kind of the focus and then the money was worried about after the fact, which I didn't particularly agree with that. I think we should have held with the budget that we started with. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it didn't mean we get as big of a liquor store, that's great. Really what we need is more parking around the liquor store. And I think there's some other locations, not just the one that was agreed on, but I think there's some other locations in town that could have been looked at a little more closely. Maybe there'll be some options to move that design a little bit to maybe bring that cost down. But yeah, that's kind of why I voted against it. Again, I was for the rebuild or a new liquor store per se, but I just didn't like the long-term implication of removing the bulk of that revenue from our city's coffers.
All right. And then finally, we are virtually out of time, but this morning, a 40-degree rain in Two Harbors, northern Minnesota. Our winters are indeed beginning to look like Kansas, like the scientists have said. Mm-hmm. What is Two Harbors doing or talking about as far as mitigating climate change or adapting to it?
So on the big scale, not a lot. On the small scale, we do look at our individual projects, such as the wastewater treatment facility. I know there's a couple things that are going in there that are helping to minimize costs. I think they're installing, and I'm going to get this wrong, and the wastewater folks will just run me right over as soon as I leave the radio station. Some type of a heat pump exchange system down at the wastewater treatment facility to help lessen the use of the electricity to run the pumps. So there's a lot of really smart people down there doing a lot of really smart things. But on the big scale, we're not looking at it. On the small scale, we're doing what we can with the upgrades that we make to the city to try and make us as energy efficient as we can.
Yeah. All right. Well, that will have to do for now. Thank you so much, Uriah, for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's always wonderful to be back here at KTWH.
Good. All right. That was Uriah Hefter. He is the city councilor for Two Harbors.